know we've already done the announcements. I'm just going to say one other little thing, and that's don't forget the potluck next week, because, you know, if you have some food, just bring it along, and we're going to have a meal together after the service. We have a baptism service. There's a few people that want to be baptized, and if any of you feel that's what God is leading you to do as well, you want to be baptized, there's going to be a blue tank here, and it's not in the river, like Doug said. We're pretty crazy, but we're not that crazy. So come and let me know so we can be a part of that, hear your testimony, and just, you know, receive the baptism. Isn't that good? Just going to pray. Let's pray and ask for God to speak today. Thank you, God, for how real you are, and you've been just showing us who you are in worship, the power of praise, and the power of your community of believers. Thank you that we've been so privileged to come to your table, and we stand in a circle because we are one body. We eat from the loaf because it's one loaf. It's one body. It represents that we stand together in unity. Thank you, Jesus. We just invite you now to open your word and to speak and make it clear just to every one of our hearts. You have a specific message. There's something that you want to encourage us with, or you want to challenge us with, or we just ask that our hearts will be open to hear. And as we've been learning about you, Holy Spirit, we've been learning what it looks like, what it is like to be led by the Holy Spirit. Our prayer today is that you'll continue to lead us. We invite you to lead us even as we open the Word of God, because we know that it is the Word of God and it is the Spirit of God where we determine truth. So we need both. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. So we pray today that your Word will be truthful, that it will apply to our lives, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead us today. Our eyes are open to see where you are going. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, this place we start here first is in Luke chapter 1. And if you know me and you know I've been around, you've been around for a while, you know you're going to go, well, what's this about? Now Pastor Stan is going to do a Christmas message, and he never does Christmas messages in November. As a matter of fact, he's not big on Christmas in November. I like Christmas in December. I don't like to hear Christmas music even until like maybe 2 weeks before Christmas. But I know I stand in the minority. So I never preach about Christmas, and this is not a Christmas message, so don't get your hopes up, okay? I mean, yeah, it has some things to do with Christmas, but I woke up, and man, I tell you, God is leading by His Spirit, and one of these days we're going to talk about all the different ways that He does that. One of the ways that God, I guess, communicates to us, obviously it's through the Word and through music, and there's all kinds of different ways, but one of the ways that He does, and He always has done, is through dreams and through visions. And something's been going on in my life lately where I just wake up and I have something just from God. And sometimes it's for someone specific, or it's a specific problem that I need to find an address to. Or sometimes it's just the Word of God, and something comes up and I go, wow, this is fresh for me. Like, and that's good for me. I like fresh because I've done this for a lot of years. You know, I've opened this Word. I've preached it many times. I'm always hungry for something that's fresh and new. And that might not be true for you today. You might hear this and you might go, well, this is all old hat. I've always known that. I never really thought of what we're going to talk about today in these terms. And I'm trying to preface these words. This is not heresy, okay? You guys aren't laughing. You need to let me explain when we get into this, okay? Because there's some certain basic tenets of the Christian faith that we hang on to. But for the Word of God to be fresh, sometimes we need to be willing to ask some questions and to challenge it and to compare it to what the Word of God really says. So just bear with me today. Let's read it first. And then you're going, what is he talking about? We'll get there. Here we go in Luke chapter 1. And this is the story of Mary when the angel appears to her and says, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And we read there, I'm going to start reading in verse 31. And you will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." That's a good question. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Do you believe that? All right. You sort of do. I get it. Let's try that again. Nothing is impossible with God. All right. Now I'm more convinced. For nothing is... And then listen to what Mary says at the end. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. Last week, we kind of ended the service. And we were talking about the two different questions, the how questions and the why questions. You remember that? And I really believe that God was leading in this direction, saying, you know, sometimes we spend so much time asking him why. We have all the why questions. Our prayers are filled with whys. Why, God? Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why am I so broke? Why am I so addicted? Why did my marriage fall apart? Why did I not do a better job with this or with that? We are easy to ask the why questions. And that God was saying, you know, start asking different questions. It's not that I don't want to hear questions, but ask some how questions instead of why questions. Remember that? Will remembers. Thanks, Will. You know, ask them, how, God, how can I glorify you? How are you working in this incredibly difficult time of my life? How are you working? Not why are you working, or why are you doing this to me, God, but how can I see you in this? How can I be used by you, God? Those are such better questions, and part of the reason for that is that a lot of why questions begin with a starting point of doubt. The foundation is a lack of faith. Why? The other thing is, a lot of times, those why questions are all about me. They're questions that stem out of self-pity. And we feel like we're not being treated well. And God really does, really, we're just listening to the enemy. Because he's saying, you know what, God really doesn't love you. He doesn't really take care of you. And so we're left just saying, why, God, why? Well, this morning, two of the best how questions in the scriptures. And the first one we just read, when Mary says, how is this going to happen, right? I think that's a pretty good question, don't you? An angel appears to Mary. He says, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and you're a virgin. Mary, you are going to give birth to the very Son of God. You are going to give birth to the Redeemer of the world, and you are going to do this because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, whatever that means. And Mary goes, how? Right? How? I think that's a pretty fair question. How is this going to happen? How? Oh, my goodness, yeah. Right? And then he explains it as good as he could. He says, well, Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to give birth, and he will be called Christ, right? He will be called the Son of God. And then Mary goes, okay, let it be to me. Let it be to me just, you know, she doesn't say, do you know what kind of trouble this is going to get me in? Do you have any idea what my neighbors are going to say? Do you know what my mom and dad are going to think? Do you know the scandal that's going to follow this? Do you know what kind of a predicament you're putting me in here? No, she goes, okay, nothing is impossible with God. Let it be to me just as you've said. Man, that's faith, right? Not why. Why? Why me? There's 100 other virgins out there, you know. Why me? No, how? How can this work, God, and how can you use me, and how can you do the impossible? Here's the second one, John. This one just showed up this morning, so I think you have it, but man, God laid this on my heart. This is the second great how question in the scriptures that I want to point out today. John chapter 3, verse 5. And here Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says this, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." I'm just going to read that again, because that's going to be important later on. "Flesh gives birth to flesh,
But the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit.
How can this be?
That's what Nicodemus says, right? All this Spirit talk and being born again talk, and the Spirit gives flesh to give birth to Spirit, and the flesh gives flesh to the flesh, and Nicodemus looks at Jesus and he goes, how? Say what? Like, can you repeat that stuff about the being born again thing? Because I don't get, he says that later on, right? I don't get, like, does a man got to go in the womb a second time? Like, how does that work? Can you sort of explain that a little better? Because I'm not following, that picture isn't really working for me, right? And Jesus just says, you need to be born again. And if you want to have life, life comes from the Spirit. If you want to have life, then you need to know that it comes from the Spirit because of what Christ has done. And I want you just to keep in mind those two how questions. The how question of Mary and the how question of Nicodemus. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We all know that, right? And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You all agree on that? That's good, because he was. And for a couple thousand years now, the church has made a really big deal of that. In fact, it even made it into the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, right? And I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So that's sort of a main teaching, a main tenet of what we believe, that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we've made sometimes, you know, huge deals about this conception of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the Catholic Church, and I'm not bashing them, I'm just telling you, this is what they hold to, that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that makes Mary extra special. That Mary was pure. That Mary, there was not even any original sin in Mary. And so Mary becomes venerated, she becomes a saint, she becomes someone who's even prayed to, just like you would pray to Jesus. Mary is prayed to because she's just that important because of that immaculate conception is what they would talk about. That's how they would call that, right? And so Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and or Jesus was in Mary, and she was a virgin. And for a long, long time in the church, we have seen this, and we've celebrated this, and we have been all about how great this event is, and it is. Don't get me wrong here. This is a great thing that Jesus, the Son of God, was impregnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit. But here's where I have a problem. When we get to Matthew, and by the way, don't worry, I'm not going to say that he wasn't, okay? But when we get to Matthew's version of this, and if you can put that on in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew tells us also that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice how Matthew says this. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That's how Matthew says it. You know, for a long, long time in my life, for a lot of years, that verse really bothered me because I didn't get it. And it really wasn't until just a little while ago that I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, the way God views the conception, the way God views the sort of life being planted in Mary is sort of a different way than we do. Because I can't think of a way that Matthew could have stated this any less, with any less significance. He goes, you know what? Let me tell you, here's what he's really saying. Let me tell you about Jesus and about Mary. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit, or she was, that last verse, she was found to be with child. Now that is a very understated verse, right? She was just found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And when I read that for years, I go, well, what do you mean? Like, who found her that way? What do you mean she was just, like, could you understate that any more? It's like a side note. It's like, well, she was, you know, found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Just, there you go. It's like in brackets, right? Why isn't it a bigger deal?
Because we make such a big deal of it. We put it in our creeds, and we have Christians who are praying to Mary, and we're making this about so much more. There's huge parties, and trumpets are sounding. And when God talks about this conception, when he talks about this seed of life that's planted, he says, well, she was found to be with child, just found to be with child. Could you understate it anymore? Like, he just matter of fact, right? He just sort of throws it out there. And it struck me that maybe the reason for that is because when it comes to the Holy Spirit, giving life or planting life is exactly what he's about every single day, right? This isn't for the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying that this is not a unique, not a special event. It really was. But the Holy Spirit is all about life. He is all about planting life and conceiving life. And where we have looked at that event and said, man, this is a one-time event. This is a unique event. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that ever happened. And it did. The Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, but I give life all the time. Maybe not always that way. I don't always implant a virgin. I don't always implant a virgin with my son who's going to be the redeemer of the world. But I implant life. And here's what I'm getting to, okay? I know some of you are going, finally. Here's what I'm getting to. I want you to think about this, and I haven't really thought about it in this way before. But I want to make this declaration today that all of us who are Christ followers, every single one of us who are Christ followers, have life that has been implanted into us by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, every single one of us. And I guess I never thought of it that way. I just thought, well, the Holy Spirit and the conception of life, that always just goes with Mary, and that's part of the creed. But when the creed says he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, you know what? I can say the same thing. I was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I have been conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. He gives me life. Jesus said it so clearly to Nicodemus. He says, the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Our life comes from him. The Spirit implants us with life. Not exactly in the same way that he did with the Virgin Mary, but he's still planting life. He's still conceiving it in us. He's still giving us that life. Look at, there's so many things, but look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this. He says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, by the way, on the way to church this morning, Crystal looked at me, she said, isn't that a great verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 11? And I said, how did you know I'm going to be talking about that today? She said, I just love that verse. She said, that verse has been on my heart all week. I said, wow, I'm that verse is something that's been on my heart all week too. So it's got to be the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. He says it three times. Did you get that? Three times he says, if the Spirit of him who's raised Jesus from the dead, he's living in you, number one. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body and through his Spirit who lives in you. Did you get it? Were you listening? I got to tell you three times so that you're going to actually hear me, right? He lives in you, he lives in you, he lives in you, and your life comes from the Spirit. From the Spirit. Hallelujah. Wow. You see, all this time you thought your life came from your mom or from your dad. But as believers, we have a better life than even that. We have a life that comes from the Holy Spirit. Look at, what's that other one? Hang on a second here. Hang on. I know. John 1. Sorry. Takes me I'm a little slow. I'm getting, oh, there you go.
Thank you, Lord.
Just more evidence of what we're talking about. I know I'm going. He who, he said, yet to all who received him, this is John, this is Jesus,
you know, talking about the incarnation of Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but you are born of God. Born of God. Yeah. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. Who's the Word? Who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You are a child of God. You have the right as a child of God. He says you are not born by natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but you're born of God. And that's what we're talking about today. That is only done through the Spirit who gives life. And like I said earlier, and I'm just going to say it again, every single one of us who is a follower of Jesus Christ, every single one of us has been implanted in our hearts with a life that only comes from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit of God. You agree? Okay, I'm going to just say three things about that. And this has to do with pregnancy. In a way, what we're saying here today is when you have the life that the Spirit puts in you, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You have a seed inside of you. It's conceived and it grows and it becomes exciting and full of joy. Well, the first thing that happened in Mary's case is when she was impregnated, when she became pregnant, it was a scandal. We talked about that a little bit before, right? Everybody pointed their finger. There's that Mary. We thought she was such a good girl. Right? Oh, boy, did she fool us. We know what she's really like. And so there was this scandal, and that had to be so difficult. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been for her? She didn't deserve the criticism. She didn't deserve the shame. She didn't deserve the pointed fingers. There was a huge scandal. Everyone was going, oh, we're just so shocked, right? Well, let me tell you something about the rest of us, too. There's a scandal involved with grace. Grace itself is scandalous because it's God giving his son, the life of his son, so that I could live. It took Jesus' life. He had to die on the cross so that I could have life. If that's not scandalous, I don't know what is. And there's a whole lot of people out there, and many of you have experienced this. Maybe it's your family or your husband or other people who don't get this, and they don't understand what we understand. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives yet. But they look at us sometimes and they go, yeah, and you think you're something. And I remember you when. And I know your sins, and I know what you really were like. And you know, they don't give us any breaks, right? It's just a scandal, and they look at us, and they don't believe it. They don't believe that you're changed. They don't believe what you say is true. They don't believe that you have a new life. You can be prepared for that. Just like Mary had to be, you can be prepared. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you can expect opposition similarly to the kind of opposition I've had to face. People aren't going to get it. There's people in your lives. There's neighbors. There's family. There's relatives. Whoever. They don't get it. They don't understand that you've really been changed, that you have a brand new life, because the Spirit has placed a new life in you. They don't get it, right? So what do you do about it? You love them anyway, and you just don't care what they think. Stop caring what they think. Man, if you're going to care about what everybody thinks about you, and whether they think that you're not real, and you're disingenuous, and that you're not really a different person, you got to not worry about them. Just worry about what Jesus, what God thinks about you. Yeah, that's not easy to do, believe me. It's not easy to do. But really, it's all about what we say and what we sing. I'm going to just follow Jesus, and I'm going to look in this direction because that's Jesus' direction. And all those people back there who are doing whatever they're doing or saying whatever they're saying, I just can't listen to that because all I want my ears to be in tune to is the name of Jesus. So that's the first thing. There is scandal involved in grace. There is scandal involved when the Holy Spirit implants that life into you. There will be scandal. It's not going to be all easy. And sometimes, I'm not going to even say a big deal about this. I'm just going to make this statement. Sometimes the most difficult opposition that you're going to face is going to come from the most surprising places. And not always from people who don't know Christ. Second thing. It has to do with, when you're pregnant, it's obvious. Usually. At least down the road it is. It might not be at first, but you can't be just a little bit pregnant. Now, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant, right? It's obvious. When you're pregnant, things start to change. You can hide it for a little while. Like Mary might have been able to hide this for a few months, but pretty soon it's going to come out and people are going to wonder what's going on. It's obvious. It's apparent. It's evident. People look at it and they see it. They say, yes, that's a pregnant person.
Woman, usually.
Almost always. Well, the same should be true of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who have that life of the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit gives life, and the only life we have comes from the Holy Spirit. It ought to be obvious. It should be just as obvious as a woman who's in her third trimester and is way out to here. It's obvious I have Christ in my life. My center of gravity has changed. Now Jesus is my center of gravity, right? It should be obvious. You know, if people are looking at you or they're looking at me and they're going, I wonder if that guy's a Christian or not. I'm doing something wrong. They should know it. The Christ in me should be a Christ who's coming out of me, right? That Christ in me. Keep clapping. The baby in Elizabeth's womb at 6 months leaped in her womb. Man, that joy ought to be in me, right? We ought to have that kind of joy. Just, I'm excited. I belong to Jesus, and he's taking care of me. And praise God, he's my defender, right? It ought to be obvious. It ought to be, people can see it, right? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Needs to be obvious in our lives. Needs to be just as obvious as someone who is literally pregnant, right? If you look dead, if your eyes look dead, if your posture, people are looking at you and they're going, I'm not sure he's alive or not. If it looks dead, if it walks like it's dead, if it smells like it's dead, right? So let's just be alive. We have every reason to be alive. We're Christians. He's put the life in me through the Holy Spirit. You've been, again, this is getting a little bit whatever, but you've been impregnated. I'm going to use the term. You've been impregnated with the joy, with the love of God. You've been impregnated with the Holy Spirit, and it's all about life. So if you're alive, you ought to look alive. Right, guys? Look alive. Look alive. There you go. Look alive. There we go. All right. It should be obvious. It should be apparent. People should look at us and go, there's really something different about that person. You know, the best compliment that people pay, that I hear when they come in here, and I hear this from people from time to time, is they go, wow, I really enjoyed worshiping here today, and the Spirit of God is sure here. There's life. There is life in this place. That's a great compliment. That's more important to me than if they say, boy, you guys really got your theology down pat. I'd rather hear them say, I see the Spirit of God and there's life. I see the river of life flowing. Man, there is no excuse to be dry. There's no excuse to be dusty and worn out and just plain boring. I am not interested in boring people. Because my God is not boring. Right? My God is not boring. He has given me life. What kind of life has he given us? Abundant life. Amen. Now you can cheer for that. Okay, the third thing I want you to remember today. And this is kind of weird and a little bit creepy. But, you know, and I've noticed this, that women who are pregnant, especially as they get kind of bigger, there's something compelling about that. Like, they draw people to themselves, and total strangers will come and talk to them and ask them incredibly personal questions that are, you know, not should not be asked. Like,
So how many weeks are you? And when are you due? And are you having any cramps yet? You know, my wife will ask, sorry, honey, but she'll say, so is it a fast heartbeat? Or she's always interested in that. So is the baby's heartbeat fast or slow? Because then she thinks she knows whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And she, and to her credit, she's like 50% right on that. So people will come up to total strangers and go, you know, so when are you due? And how fast is the heartbeat? And do you mind if I... How many of you women who have been pregnant before have had someone say, hey, can I just feel your tummy? Right? Some of you have, right? Like, that's just weird and creepy. And by the way, no one should do that. So stop doing that. Just stop it. Right, Rejoice? Just stop it. Don't be doing that. This is my tummy. You can't go put your hands on it just because you feel compelled, right? Or people will say, man, you are just glowing. Ah, yeah. One time, One time I said to a woman who went to our church, I said, so when are you due? She said, 3 months ago. I did not say, wow, you're still kind of fat. Right? But that's sort of the implication, and I just blew it, right? So I learned a long time ago, I'm not asking that question. You can be way out to here. It's just none of my business, and I'm not asking you when you do. But here's the point. Here's what we're getting at, okay? There's something compelling about this pregnancy, about this life that grows in us. There's something that draws people, and that's what God does with his Holy Spirit. It's in you. If you are obvious, if the joy of the Lord is on the surface, if you're ready to praise God, if you are in the Word and you are showing and demonstrating how the life of God is all over you, then people are going to come up to you and go, man, you're glowing. What is this about you? How come? And people will be drawn, right? They will be drawn to us, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. We don't need to twist people's arms. We don't need to sell the gospel of Jesus Christ because, as a matter of fact, it's not even for sale. You can't sell it. It's free. Isn't that true? But here's what I'm trying to say. We should be so filled with the Holy Spirit. There should be so much life of the Spirit that is conceived in me and in you, that people are going, man, I want that life. I want to know what that person has. I want it. I want to find out where it is and how to get it. I want that life. There's something compelling. There's something attractive about the life that is in us. And you know that's true. I look at you. Man, there's some of you guys. You just inspire me. You know, the other day, Joyce dancing. She was dancing at Lotus when we had the worship service on a Friday night. And that moved me. Sometimes worship does that. You watch people just worship. There's something compelling about that because you see that they have a real connection. There's something, this is not made up. You could not make this up, right? I look at you and I see so many of you. This is, I think, the strength of our church. That's what I think. The strength of our church is that I can see the love that you have for Jesus Christ. I see the life. There's life. This is not a dead place. I don't want to go to a church that's dead. This is not a dead place. He's living. He lied. He's alive. Yeah. Amen. And why is that all important? Let me wind up with this, but it's really important because as we are learning more and more about how to be led by the Holy Spirit, we've been talking about that, right? How the Holy Spirit actually inside of us gives us directives, gives us missions even. Go do this. Say this to Pam. Encourage Nora, right? That as we learn more and more that prophetic voice, the voice of the Spirit speaking to us and giving us clear mission, clear mandate of who to encourage or who to talk to or, hey, I had a dream last night, and the dream was about you. Someone sent me an email yesterday, and they said, I just had this picture for you. And it was so encouraging. That's a prophetic picture.
What I'm saying is that for that to happen in us, the credibility for that comes. The credibility in that comes when the life is in us. And it is so obvious that when you come up to someone and you say, you know what, I believe that God wanted me to tell you this today. God wants you to know listen to me. God wants you, I'm not trying to embarrass you. God wants you to know that he loves you. And whatever you're afraid of, you don't need to be afraid anymore. Amen. Okay? The credibility for the prophetic word comes from what's really alive and what's really growing in our hearts. If we're dead, if we're dusty, if we're boring, if we're just saying words because we want to say words or we want people to just hear the things that we're saying, it won't be from God. Let it be that obvious in your life. Mary said, well, let it be to me as you have spoken. Really what she's saying is, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, whatever you choose to do, I'm going along for the ride. Holy Spirit, I want to be obedient. Can you pray that today? Can you say that today? You say, yeah. I just want to be used by God. I want my faith to be so clear and so evident and so visible that I'm not afraid anymore. I'm going to go where you want me to go. Whatever. Really, that's sort of where Mary was at. I'm just going to throw my hands up in the air and say, you are the potter. You do, God. You do whatever you want to do. We just bow our heads. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that the life that is in us is conceived by you. Teach us how to live. Teach us to live an abundant life. And the things that are hindering that life, that are blocking our testimony and our prophetic word, remove them right now in Jesus' name. Remove the fears, our tendency to gossip. Remove every part of our testimony that is not consistent. In Jesus' name. And we pray that our center of gravity is going to be the Holy Spirit. I like that picture. Because I make a way for you. I'm going to make a way. Maybe there's someone here today that you just need to hear that. You're in a really, you're kind of in a really bad place. You don't know how you're going to get out of it. I will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all stand up? Thank you.
I was lost, he brought me in with his love for me. You know, that's been the theme all day, right? His love for you. That he just wants you to have life. Let's worship him. And if there's any particular need that you have today, you need prayer, maybe we could just have all our board members. Why don't you guys come on up? They're more than happy to just to pray with you. Maybe you painted yourself in a corner and it's time to get out of that corner. Just come to the front. Let's just bring it to God. Who am I at the highest king? You belong. You belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, you're mine. And nothing is going to touch my daughter. Nothing. No one is going to touch my son. He holds on to you with a fierce love. Amen? He loves you like a father, like your daddy. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep you. Lift up your hands. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you today. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you today. May the Lord give you his peace. Amen.